What's going on, guys? Thanks for tuning into the Local Crown Podcast, where we're going to teach you how to wage war on your competition and earn your local crown, also known as the top spot on Google.
I saw a video from you not too long ago, and I just got to ask, what does being humble mean to you?
You know, for me, it's allowing other people to shine. That's one of the pieces. I don't need the limelight. I don't need the light. I get the light quite a bit, but my responsibility, especially within my team, it's to, if I get the light shined on me, my responsibility is immediately put the light on them. It's always like, you know, I don't know if you notice when I'm talking a lot of times, I always say we. It's become my habit, even if I'm just talking about me. You very seldom hear me say me, myself, and I, because nothing that I've done, nothing that I've become happened because me, myself, and I. It was always other people were involved. Everything I say to you on this call, I'm just regurgitating things that great people in my life, whether through books or mentors or seminars I heard before. So I for me, a lot of it is not taking credit for everything. It's you know, it's Bill Russell. I love basketball, and Bill Russell was one of the greatest players to ever play the game. I think they had, I don't know, 12 championships or something while he played. His philosophy was always pass before shoot. It was always about the team, you know, because great teams get the ring. Now, I know today it's different. The highlight reel is important. You know, your big check and all that. The game has changed a lot. But for me, it's pass before shoot. It's you know, how can I give other people the light? And, you know, people will cheer on guys with big egos. But when you fall, they're also there to kick you in the teeth. They're the first one. You know, Grant Cardone, if we watch Grant Cardone, you know, he did that whole thing. He's got that show, The Billionaire, whatever. And for a while there, people were like, thought Grant had fallen off. And people came like crazy to kick Grant in the teeth, to talk crazy. Some of the same people that were buying tickets to his stuff. And when they thought he was on top of the world, they were all on his jock. And as soon as they saw a crack, or they thought they saw a crack, which was he fabricated that crack, they were there like crazy throwing rocks at him. So I warned people. I said, look, you can be as egotistical as you want, and they're going to shine up. They're going to show up and clap for you right now, but dare fall slightly, you know. But if you've been humble all along the way, man, people show up and open doors for you and try to figure out how they can help you get back to where you were and provide resources and things like that. So there's a couple things to think about. There's a great book called, I forget the name. Ego is the Enemy. And I live by that. Matter of fact, I have that tattooed on my hand, on my writing hand. So whenever I'm signing contracts or anything, I see it. Ego is the Enemy. It reminds me to stay humble. And my mentor, the last thing I say, I had a mentor who used to say, when you forget where you came from, you're on your way back. And I remember one month, I made like $14,000 for a month, which for me was a lot of money at the time. And you couldn't talk to me, man. There's a song that goes like, wait till I get my money right. You can't talk to me or something like that. And that was me, man. I was just an arrogant idiot. And I thought that I was something special. And my mentor said, I'm not talking to you until you get your shit together, until you get off your high horse. And he said, call me back when you humble yourself, because you're going to lose everything you've got. And you don't have much, even though you think you do. Anyway, so I had good mentors that came in and would slap me around and put me back in my place. Because there's always someone bigger, faster, smarter, sharper, richer. It's always going to be that way. So just, you know, I focus on being the best human being I can be. And how can I lift other people, empower, equip, and move people to the next level? Long answer, but you hit on a very, a topic that's very dear to me, because I see a lot of people that are just, you know, walking all over people, talking shit to people. They talk bad to janitors. They talk like shit to waiters. They treat people like garbage unless those people can do something for them. And that stuff does not sit well with me.
Yeah, it's way too common. But you keep talking about mentors, so I gotta ask, like, what do you look for in a mentor? And at your level, how do you even find a mentor?
Man, mentors have ever been everything for me. Like I said, one of my early mentors was in the drug rehabilitation. I wasn't looking for a mentor. A mentor found me, and he showed up and started to veer my life on track. Because you look at my house, there was three people in the house: my brother, my sister, she died of a heroin overdose. My brother has been in and out of prison his entire life. How does one make it? and two don't? Well, mentors. And most of the time I wasn't looking for those mentors. They found me when I got involved in business because I didn't have the credentials. Nobody would hire me. All these doors got slammed in my face. I ended up in a network marketing company, and it was there that I ended up with a mentor by the name of Jim Rohn. Some people know Jim Rohn. Jim Rohn had an incentive to be a mentor because he would earn an override, or could earn an override, if I produced. And that was incentive enough for him to teach me. And I didn't know at the time, you know, I mean, I knew the man was brilliant, but I didn't realize how, you know, he later on, a lot of people know, you know, he was Tony Robbins' mentor, and just an unbelievable philosopher and incredible man. But it was chance encounters like that where the right people came in my life. And then later on, I realized that as I expanded, I had to expand my circle. And I never wanted to be the guy in my circle. I wanted to be, you know, if I had five people around me, I wanted to be the lowest guy in the totem pole amongst those five. So then I started looking for people that were, you know, three things: burning desire, willing to work, coachable. I was looking for those humble hustlers that, you know, Paul J. Meyer, billionaire, came into my life again through a network marketing company. And this dude taught me the art of giving. And, you know, the guy was in his 80s, climbing mountains, scuba diving, working, you know, 12-hour days only to give 100% of every dollar he made. He said making money for him was a selfish thing because he loved to give it so much. So he kept working only to keep giving his money away. And so I just was fortunate, man, that as I was looking to advance myself, kind of the right people show up. There's a saying that says, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. So trying to force mentorship, like now, you know, I got all these coaches and gurus selling you mentorship. And I have nothing against all that. I tell people buyer beware, you know, because, you know, I guess there's incentive, you know, cash wise, but make sure these people have track records, make sure they have integrity, make sure they have character, make sure that the reason for doing it is right. Otherwise you're going to walk away, you know, with debt and disappointment.
Absolutely, man. So what questions do you ask? And like, are there ways that you see through like some of the fake gurus that are out there? Cause it seems to be way, way, way too common right now.
Dude, it is hard, man. I'm glad I'm not out looking for, you know, actually looking for some. What I tell people is figure out where you want to play. If you want to be in business, well, figure out in that category who you respect, who you think is the best in that area, and then see what you can do to get proximity. Doesn't mean you need access. Maybe they wrote a book. Maybe they had an audio program. Maybe there's stuff on YouTube that you can access first. That's how some of my mentors came to be, like Les Brown. I ended up writing a book with him, but he was my mentor through audios. You know, I was listening to his stuff on audio, and through little chance encounters, I eventually met the man. And, you know, Mark Victor Hansen, I think today he's the largest selling author in the world, second only to the Bible. You know, he became a friend of mine who was someone I listened to through his teachings. So I would look for people that are putting out great content. I would look for people that are in, you know, the realm you want to be. If they're too accessible, it makes me wonder, if I should even be asking them questions. If, you know, like, there's so many life coaches that haven't even lived life. I know so many life coaches that are broke, and it's interesting to me that these life coaches are charging people to help them with their life, but they can't even get their shit together. I know life coaches that are unhealthy and, you know, they eat like shit. And I'm like, bro, I you know, some of them are my friends, so I don't want to call anyone out, but I'm just amazed that people, maybe it's just the desperation of people. And now, like, everybody wants to be a damn motivational speaker. And, you know, I tell people, accuse me of being a motivational speaker. I'm like, look, I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm an entrepreneur that speaks. You know, I got paid speaking gigs only because I built massive audiences of my own salespeople, of my own teams, you know, that led to me speaking in these, you know, big auditoriums and, you know, stuff like that. So I don't really know what to ask people. I would look for the best of the best in whatever category that I'm shooting for, and see if I can get access to them through their content they put out, and then figure out, like, well, now it sucks because of COVID a little bit, but, you know, when some of these people end up, you know, speaking on at live events, I, for me, if I knew somebody that I had that I thought was the deal was speaking somewhere, I would hop in my beat up ass car on a prayer, hoping the thing would make. I don't care if they were 12 hours away. I would drive there. I would sleep in the car. I would wash up in public restrooms. I mean, I was just hungry. I wanted it so bad. And I knew there were certain people I wanted to get the information from. I remember one of my early mentors was in a bar. He was sitting at the bar with a bunch of his friends. He was talking. I was standing in a place that's kind of packed. I was standing behind them. It sounds weird now that I say it, but I was standing behind them just listening, man. I wanted to soak up any. I just wanted to be in proximity. I wanted to be in that orbit. And then, you know, it was kind of a situation where I was able to buy him a beer and we had a little conversation. And later on, we end up, you know, connecting and doing a business deal. So I don't know, man. I think forcing it is very difficult, but I think if you can provide value for people sometimes. I won a contest one time that allowed me the right to pick up Les Brown in my vehicle. At that time, he was married to Gladys Knight, the singer. And I won a sales contest that gave me the right to pick him up in our city and drive him to the venue. So that was a chance encounter, but I won that. I provided value for someone else. I sold, you know, more than anybody else. And I got to go do that. And that encounter led to Les and I having a relationship.
Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you learned something. If you have questions, email us at info@thelocalcrown.com. And if you want to get featured in our publication, Inside the Empire, alongside John Lee Dumas, the Entrepreneur on Fire, Jason Waller, the CEO of Power Home Solar, Sharon Lecter, Dan Caldwell, the man that started Tap Out, and the limitless man himself, Jim Quick, for free, then head over to thelocalcrown.com/become a contributor.